As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. We're part of The Athletic Podcast Network. With me today is my good friend, Michele Berra. Michele, what's up?
I missed the intro, Andrew. Where is, like, I am about to dunk or what's stored? I missed that.
I know. We won't have any of it. Here's what I have considered putting as the intro. I have considered putting just, I'm Hamidou Diallo and I'm down to dunk, because I have that. And I'm thinking about just making that the only thing, because if we can be honest, he's really the only player that matters this year. He's a player.
Yeah.
Let's say, not the only player. He's the player that matters the most this year for this team.
Especially if he plays point guard instead of Théo Maledon.
Right. Hey, why not sit? Here's a grand experiment we can do. Let's sit him. Let's sit SGA and just see what Hami can do against the Rockets.
Yeah. That might be me watching the TV for 48 seconds.
Oh, come on. It would be just an adventure, and you know it.
Yeah, an adventure that, yeah, I'm going to see that as well.
Another adventure that happened in the NBA today was Rudy Gobert signed his giant contract extension with the Utah Jazz. It is $205 million?
Yeah.
Or
it's an average of 41 per year.
Oh boy, that is a big fat deal. And apparently that deal has been on the table with Gobert for a little bit. And people wondered if he was going to take it. Well, he took it. He definitely took it. And how we can kind of swing this back to the Thunder is that it takes another big man off the table, where maybe there were teams that would be preparing to make a go at him. Because Rudy Gobert, if you sign him or if you have him on your team, you're an immediately great team. That's just the way that it is. And now the Jazz have him long term. Mm-hmm. And Al Horford just sitting back, making some good plays, hitting threes, setting crazy great screens for the Thunder. He had 17 points, 8 boards in 20 minutes the other night. Hey, NBA, come and get him. He's here. All you got to do is satisfy the Thunder with a first-round pick. That's it. That's all we need.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's surely having, like, no big man in the market is going to help Horford case. And I don't know if you can get crazy with picks. I still think that getting a first, a good first, is probably a mirage. It's not something that is going to happen. But if you get maybe a contract where you get a player that you might like in the future, or even a swing on a contract and 2 seconds, or a very protected first, something like, I don't know, top 20 for 2 years and then rolls to 2 seconds, something like that. It may be okay, because Horford is a useful player. And there are contending teams where it might be useful. Take the Nets. I do think that the Nets make a lot of sense for a team like Horford. Like, you have your center in DeAndre Jordan, and we all know that his friend with KD and Irving. But if you have to deal Prince and, like, any contract that gets you there, it's not that much to give up.
Who else gets you there, though? That's the problem. Is the contracts that get you there are Caris LeVert. They're not trading Caris LeVert.
No, of course not.
Joe Harris.
No.
No. Spencer Dinwiddie. No. DeAndre gets you closer.
Yeah, but you don't trade him. Well, maybe you do, but it's OKC will not be his final destination. I mean, if things go not great for DeAndre, then maybe you trade him. But yeah, I know the math is kind of hard. You need to get to 23, 24 million. 21 probably is the lowest you can get. And Prince and Dinwiddie get you there. Now, I know that the value of Dinwiddie is probably too high. But boy, like, Horford will complement that starting five perfectly. And yeah, you need to think that I don't know.
The Hornets are another one that Alex brought up that's a little cleaner because they have cap space.
Yeah, but do they really want to do a trade like that? I mean, I understand Horford for a contender. I'm not sure I understand Horford for a team that, with Horford, will probably win like two more games. Horford can really make difference for the Nets. Like, probably more than what Dinwiddie can for them.
Sure. I get it. I'm just saying that gets them good enough to where they want to be. Like, they don't... I mean, obviously they're not contending, but they just want to be in the mix, right? That's all. They just want to be in the mix. That puts them way more in the mix. If you trade Cody Zeller for Al Horford.
Yeah.
Much better.
Yeah, and another team that may be willing to move someone, maybe not super early, but somewhere in the future, is the Raptors. They don't have a very good solution at the center position. They have Aaron Baines, they have Alex Len, they have Chris Boucher, whatever. But Horford, if their season is going well, but they feel that they are missing something there, Horford would be great for them. I mean, you have five players that can shoot the ball, and it's, again, it's not going to cost you anything, basically. You have $4 million from McCall, you have the $7 million of Baines. You can get there, probably.
You have to include Norm Powell.
Yeah, and that is probably where you don't want to do it. But I wonder if you can get, I don't know, some wing help from OKC. You can get Diallo, for example, if you want. I don't know.
We can give him Frank Jackson.
Yeah.
And like, he's not, obviously not as good as Norman Powell, like, not even close. No. But he's a guy. Like, he's just a dude. He's just a dude living his life in the NBA.
Would you trade Lu Dort to them with Horford for a better first?
I don't know. Their picks. I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough.
It depends on when the pick is. If you like 2026 next year? Yeah. No, thanks.
No thanks.
No, okay. And I mean, it's easy to be out, right? It's easy to be out on Lu Dort right now because he hasn't played.
I'm not
well.
Out, but
I'm not. I don't know. I mean, he's still a piece that I wouldn't just give away. Because that would feel kind of like giving him away.
Yeah, yeah, sure. And of course, we discussed that on the chat as well. Boston makes sense. It's kind of hard again to get to the money level, but they have the TPE. So the only issue there is they're going to pay the tax for Horford? Is that what you want to do? You don't pay like a huge bill, especially if you include like Romeo Langford or players like that.
Yeah.
But I think that if Tristan is not working and they find themselves like around 50% by February, mm-hmm. Horford is a guy that can help you because he makes everything easier on the court.
Yeah.
He makes up for a lot of mistakes on offense because he's that good. He provides spacing. He knows the system. He will be perfect for them. And again, mm-hmm. it's Romeo Langford, Tristan Thompson, and a pick. Maybe a very, very protected pick or a good second if they have one from someone else. I don't have their...
Well, you just asked for Boston's. You just asked for their own pick.
Yeah.
Lottery protected or whatever, right?
Yeah, like maybe top 20 protected. So it's a little bit of an insurance. If they are not good, you get 2 seconds. If they are good with Horford, you get the pick. Like a fake first in 2021. Mm-hmm. I mean, that thing to me is, yeah, immediately, done deal. Whatever.
Yeah, that's a great deal for both sides because that makes I mean they don't really have to give up any real rotation piece in doing that.
Yeah, because
Langford is not going to play for them.
Yeah, unlikely, and he's a guy that still you may want to find out who he is because he clearly like showed nothing in Boston, and so. I don't think they are willing to part ways with Grant Williams or guys like that because
probably not. I
think they are in the rotation. Naismith, you may want to ask for Naismith and just renounce for the to the pick. Maybe that is something that is okay for them. I don't know. I would keep him, but
yeah, I mean, really, just ask for picks because it's you keep your shooter. You get to, you know, I wouldn't bother. Like Naismith can't be a sticking point at all. I just asked for the pick for a future pick.
Yeah, but Naismith maybe is okay to ask for him. He will not improve your win total, and maybe is a player that they like. I don't know. I mean, it's something that works with your idea of team because if you have him at the two guard with Shea, Pokuševski, Baisley, and whoever, you have all the space you need. But yeah, back to the main point, probably either at the deadline or even next offseason, Horford will be someone that teams look at, especially if he has like a blazing start, like say that he averaged 18 on 6 threes a game. The amount of threes that Horford takes will directly improve the Thunder chance to win games, but also increase the value of Horford greatly, because if he shots like 6 to 7 threes a game, which sounds preposterous, I mean, teams will start looking hard at him.
Here's why it's not preposterous at all. One, the type of offense that the Thunder have been running, it's going to generate those. I mean, I mean, you pointed this out on Thunder After Dark. Like, they don't run isolations.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that. They're running action every time, every single time. Pick and roll, pick and pop. There's always some kind of action going on with this team, which is great. And he took 5 threes in 20 minutes the other night.
Yeah.
He's taking a lot more. He's going to play a lot more than 20 minutes.
Yeah, you never know what happens when you try to overplay Shea overplay the pop and give Shea a good role, maybe switch everything. What happens then? Does Horford take like a semi-contested three or not? That is something that we have to see. But if he like shots again around 6 on a good percentage, I mean 38, 37, then teams will take a deep look at him because it may change a lot for an offense to have a guy like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, Beverly and Lou Williams. I don't want any of the two, and they don't have clearly any asset to give us, but...
They have the Detroit seconds. I've talked with Jovan Buha about that.
Yeah, but I mean, you take on two players that clearly will not want to be in OKC for 2 seconds? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they have as far as assets go. Like, if you're wanting to deal with the Clippers, that's what they got.
Yeah, then it's a hard no.
And you have all their other stuff.
Can you get say, the possibility to move 2026 to 2027, the possibility to defer?
I don't know. Can you do that?
Well, the Pelicans got the possibility to defer on one of the Lakers' pick.
Yeah.
I think they can have 2024 and they can defer it to 2025.
Hmm.
Would that be enough? Like the possibility to say, eh, no, not this year. Not good enough.
It's a nice thing to have.
Yeah.
It may mean nothing because they may still find a way to be good then.
Yeah. Or you can get a swap in 2027. I think you can get that. But it's way too far in the future. Like a swap in 2027.
Yeah. We're all going to be so old and dead by then. It won't matter anyways. Okay.
We'll be 40.
I don't want to talk about that. Let's not talk about that, McKelly. Not today. Yeah. Not today. Monday pod on a Sunday. Let's talk preseason hoops. Let's give grades. And this is your idea here. And I'm gonna let you take the wheel on our scale here. But there's a little problem with your scale, and I'll tell you what it is. But go ahead and go.
Well, the idea is to try to use food, and since I don't have like very good scales in terms of cereals because I don't eat them, I don't use ketchup.
You don't use ketchup. What do you use? Do you use condiments at all?
Mayo, mustard. Mustard I use, like Dijon mustard, I use all the time. The strong one. But rarely ketchup, some BBQ sometimes. But anyway, I wanted to use cheese because when I was in the US for that 8 months, when I was like universities and stuff like that, the thing that I missed the most from my hometown was the cheese. And once I had Velveeta cheese, which is barely cheese.
Velveeta,
sorry. And it was the worst thing I ever tasted in
terms of
cheese.
How did you have it? What was the...
Like on macaroni something? It was...
Like melted in?
Yeah.
Why is that gross?
It's terrible. Why? It's not cheese. It's not real cheese. It's something that looks like some yellowish material that you can sell for cheese. But anyway.
Did you know that the person that runs the Velveeta cheese account on Twitter is a huge Thunder fan?
Oh, okay.
This is true.
Then, this is very rad. You should have told me before. I mean,
No. This is good. This is good. This is live on the pod. I don't know if they listen to the pod for sure, but they've definitely commented on some of my stuff.
I'll be killed by them.
You'll be killed. You'll just be drugged through the mud by Velveeta. You'll be drugged through the Velveeta.
Okay. A Velveeta mud. Wow. This is going to be my nightmare. The second worst thing that I had there is the fake Parmesan.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes you take Parmesan and it's not Parmesan. Parmesan is a cheese that is made in Parma, which is a city. And uh-huh. And it's very different. You can probably get real Parmesan cheese, but you have to. The only way is to import that. Then
you can get it from Aldi. They have it at Aldi. It's delicious. Yeah, it's
not delightful. Real.
Yeah. Not yes. Real. Oh, come stop.
No, not what? Real. It cannot
will,
be real.
When you come how here, much I will serve you my Aldi. My huh?
How much what? Did you pay per pound?
I don't know. That's a great question. How much should I pay per pound?
Around. Well, I pay for a good Parmesan, you pay 25 per kilo. So half for a pound, something like that.
Wow. That's some expensive cheese, man.
Oh, yeah, it's expensive. It's one of the best. And then we have mozzarella, which is quite similar. Not similar, sorry. It's you can accept that in the US. Whenever you come to Italy, you will understand exactly why this is the scale.
Okay.
And then you can have blue cheese. Blue cheese was actually good. I had one from a very expensive store there, and it was okay, blue cheese. And then I found some good goat cheese. which is at the top.
Okay.
I also find some good cheddar. So if you want to have like fine cheddar at the top, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I feel a little weird having goat cheese up there. Goat cheese is fine, but I'm more of a cheddar guy.
Well, let's put good cheddar there. There are good cheddars. I tried very good ones.
Again, I also feel really good about calling whoever has been really good cheddar.
Good cheddar. Like okay. Let's cheddar. Do that. But I promise you, Andrew, whenever we go to Puglia or to the south, and you will try real Naples mozzarella, you will never, ever, ever, ever say that the cheese that I mentioned as from in the scale like from half to the bottom are cheese. Not that they are good, that they are cheese. You will see.
It's going to ruin me. It's going to ruin my...
Well, it's not
It's
going to
improve my cheese palate, but it's going to ruin the cheese that I've been eating.
Yeah. It's the same with wine. Whenever you understand the good ones, the not so good ones are just meaningless to you.
Oh, no. See, that's going to be bad. That will be the second worst thing.
I was discussing with Jay about beers, about IPAs. And I was not like a beer guy until like a few years ago. And then I tried, because of some friends, well, try this one. It's better. Try it with cheese. Okay. This is not the same as Budweiser. This is not the same as... Okay. But it costs double the money. Well, I hit half of the... I will drink half of the times and it will be the same.
Yep, exactly. That's a fact on that.
Yeah.
Breaking news on the pod. Kyle Kuzma, 3-year, $40 million contract extension that includes a player option. Kuzma gets a player option.
Well, the amount is low, though.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's why you get the player option, I think.
If Kyle Kuzma played for the Charlotte Hornets, one, would anybody care about Kyle Kuzma? Two, could he get this kind of money?
More.
You think he get more?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, mainly because I think at the Hornets, he would put like 18 and change in terms of points per night. So you get 15. You get the Rozier contract, which is 17 million per year.
Yeah.
That is what you get. I mean, I think that Rozier and Kuzma are in the same ballpark in terms of players.
Yeah.
And this is what you get. I mean, you get an overpay from a bad team or you get good money with the player option. I think it's okay for both because the Lakers get a cost control asset for the next 2 years. And if he wants out, well, over the next, like in season number 3 from now, it all going to be meaningless for the Lakers probably because LeBron is not going to be there. So they may be okay in Kuzma finding like money elsewhere because they need to find the next star to put alongside Anthony Davis. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a solid deal. Solid deal for both sides.
No, I like.
Shout out to Christos from Greece. He's been greeting us on the pod regularly. I love that. We also have D, who's watching from Mars. Shout out to all my Martians out there.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And let's get into these rankings. Let's start with the starting lineup from the last game. I believe that these will be the starters for the regular season as well. Mm-hmm. We'll start with our man, SGA. What kind of cheese is SGA?
I think he was blue cheese. Very good blue cheese, not exceptional, very, very good, better than what you expect from a regular cheese, probably on par with what I expected from Shea. He didn't surprise me a ton, and this is why I didn't give him the cheddar cheese or goat cheese, whatever you prefer. But Shea seemed very, very in control. I wonder when the games will matter if he will decide to take more on his shoulders or he will just play the right way, because Shea did play the right way. He had like a few penetrations, a double penetration where he probably wasn't perfect. He could have done like something else with the ball and he got blocked. His recognition will probably improve the more he knows the new teammates. But so far, so good. I mean, he's setting up a lot of good shots for others, which is something that I really like. And he got stronger in the offseason. He seems to care about defense. And this is something that I will monitor very closely, because on some possessions, you can see that he's not really there. On some other, he's great. I mean, the block he had was just like insane. You just don't block shots like that if you're not a big man. Or the two possessions he had against Coby White, where he really got into that. But with Russ, was the same. I mean, you see Russ playing 2-3 possessions, we say, wow, he's great. And then, well, where is Russ? Is that Russ's man? And I wonder if with Shea we will have a consistent defense or not.
Yeah. I think I agree with your blue cheese ranking. He was very good. Not the greatest he could be. I think that he has definitely another gear to go to. And maybe that's unlocked if he's playing 35 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And if he's playing, and they're not just trying guys out. Like Kendrick Williams not playing 17 minutes per night. Isaiah Roby not playing 10 minutes during the game. We don't get 20 minutes from Diallo. Stuff like that.
Well, who knows if we don't get 20 for Diallo from Diallo. I don't know. I don't know, Andrew.
I think if he's playing more minutes with better players the whole time, I think that will help. But yeah, I think he's got another gear to go to, but he was good. He definitely had some spurts where I was like, oh wow, this is different. He's different. He's better. So that's something to keep watching for. But yeah, in the three games, two against the Bulls, where I like the second game against the Bulls was actually probably a little bit more, it was definitely a lot more fun than the first game, but it still kind of felt like, oh man, we're playing the Bulls again. Here we go. Okay, next player, Darius Bazley. What kind of cheese is Darius Bazley?
He got the same rank from me. Another blue cheese, probably the closest to the cheddar. You can get goat blue cheese if you search hard. So he's maybe that. That for real. There was a place where you can buy cheese near the house that they have in the mountains. They have goat blue cheese, and it's just like I'm so miffed that I can go there this winter. It's due to COVID restrictions. I cannot get there. I cannot
terrible.
Get cheese.
No.
I cannot go to the ski. It's bad. But anyway, he's not cheddar cheese, mainly because the production is not there. I expect the production to be there, though, especially if he plays a lot with the starters. And maybe in a few minutes with Muscala, I think they made a good pairing. Bazley is not really a guy that you need to keep the minutes under control. He can play 30, 35. So he will get better. He was like playing at his own pace. But I think that he's another guy that has a gear to get to, and so I was really pleased, but he was not the guy that either shocked me or was the best player, clearly the best player on the court. So blue cheese for me as well.
Yeah, he took a step up. He's he's definitely a little bit more comfortable with the ball in his hands. He still kind of had the same problem that he did last year, like finishing around the rim and finishing in the paint was off. That's something that he's going to have to fix if he wants to get to the next level. But his defense and rebounding and his playmaking is there. He's got a ton of tools to be a really nice player in the league. So I tend to agree with that ranking. Let's go Al Horford.
Yeah, he's my first cheddar cheese.
The dude is the high stinking cheddar, man. He's been so good.
Yeah, he was very, very, very good. And like the trees were there, falling. The overall screening game was perfect. Defensively, I mean, it's preseason. You could tell that on some drives it was just, okay, you can have this hook shot. I don't care. Mm-hmm. That will not be probably the way in which Hall will defend in the regular season. Offensively, though, you can see how much a guy like that can transform an offense if you play him at the right role. Like, how can you think that he's not a center for you or that can play alongside another center? It doesn't make any sense. Like, just play the guy. Play the guy at the center position and having him as the lead screener. Like, the way in which he can set screens and just move and open space for you, it's amazing. It's just good to watch. And I think he was the best player on the court in terms of results. Probably not the best player in terms of talent, but he was crazy efficient, like getting up like insane numbers. If this continues, I mean, I don't know how many minutes he will play regularly, probably around 30. It would be hard for OKC to be bad in those minutes.
Yeah. The offense, when he's in and Shea's in,
It's unbelievable. Yeah, especially if you have George Hill to space the court for you. So,
it's going to be very good. Hopefully the bench will be bad enough to offset that. But they're going to be good when Horford is out there. And hopefully that just leads to him finding a landing spot somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, this last time that Horford was traded was the first time he was traded in his career, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was in Atlanta. I'm sure he had tremendous value in his Atlanta. Then he goes to Boston. He ends up leaving and going to the Sixers. And then the Sixers misuse him horribly because they just have a roster that doesn't fit him at all. And so then they have to deal him for Danny Green, and they have to give up a first round pick, and everybody's like, man, I'm surprised they didn't have to give up more. Well, I think similar to when the Thunder got Chris Paul, I think that Sam saw this and was like, oh, well, there's somebody that's tremendously undervalued. We'll take him.
Yeah.
And the Danny Green deal isn't done yet. It's not done because whenever they trade Al Horford for whatever asset they'll get, and I promise you they're going to get an asset. Just like I promised everybody they were going to get an asset for Chris Paul. Promise you they're going to get an asset for Al Horford. I don't know how good of an asset it will be. I don't know if it'll be a premier type of asset, but they're going to get a good asset for him. No question.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we discussed that. I think it's reasonable to expect that they get an extra first rounder. Again, maybe not a good one, but who knows? I mean, it always depends. If that is the pick with which you get Nikola Jokic in the second round or Serge Ibaka at 24. That is the pick that can change part of the future of the franchise. Maybe you will not get the blue chip player with that pick, but maybe you do. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's up there and surely it will get you more value than playing Al Horford for two seasons. That is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is also like I want to get to go back and like I know that we are running late already, but think about Jeremy Grant.
Mm.
Like that pick that we got from Denver was crucial to get Pokuševski. Oh, now, I remember discussing with a lot of guys on Twitter. I mean, clearly Sam lost the trade. Did he? Like, look at Denver. They paid a first for a guy that left for Detroit. Mm-hmm. Like, can you imagine if Grant stays in OKC? What's the result? Is Grant getting you past Houston? Maybe. Maybe, maybe, maybe. And maybe you get crushed from the Lakers anyway. Is that worth Pokuševski? I don't really think so. Maybe he's a bust, and so you can say, well, whatever. But sometimes, like, you have to take your time to analyze a trade and why getting the pick number 25 is important. It's important because you can package it with 28 and get something better. Mm-hmm. So, again, even if they get pick number 25 in 2021, who knows? Who knows? Maybe you can package three picks and climb from 5-4 and get Kuminga or whoever you like there, or Jalen Suggs, who was awesome yesterday, by the way. Jacking trees.
Yeah. It's every move matters on some level.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have, especially when you have a front office like the Thunder, I don't think that's true with every team. I don't think that's true with every franchise. Because mm-hmm. A lot of teams don't value their picks like they should. They don't value even their second round picks. There's been teams historically that just hand away, just give off second round picks. Yeah. Just take them.
Yeah.
The Thunder aren't going to be that kind of team.
Nope. Especially not in the future.
No. Let's grade George Hill real quick.
George Hill. He's a mozzarella. Nice. He didn't do anything specific. Was good, but like, he's a compliment. You can put it on pizza and he's fine. But he's not very good by itself. Like, yeah, if it's Naples mozzarella, you can have it and say, wow. But if it's regular mozzarella, you need to put it somewhere in order to be interesting, right?
Yeah. Lou Dort.
Lou Dort is, I don't know. I don't want to give him the Velveeta cheese rank.
Why not?
Because it was bad, but defensively it was not bad, and I have high hopes.
Just preseason. This only is preseason. You don't have to grade him for the future.
He's probably Velveeta cheese then. He was bad.
He was pure. Yeah, he was Velveeta. Cut up in cubes, put on a plate for you.
Yeah.
It was not good. I believe he'll be better, but there's also something to that. He's a great complementary player. And with the starting lineup, I think that he can complement them. But as it continues to get torn down, like, George Hill is gone and Horford's gone, and now it's SGA and Baisley are your two best players out there with who knows who it's going to be.
Yeah.
Then it becomes a little bit more dicey for Lou, where he's definitely going to be the guy that's going to going to defend the best player on the opposing team. That's great. You always need somebody like that that can take some pressure off of a guy like SGA. So it's like, it's not like he doesn't have a role, but it's just different. Like, things, he's going to have to evolve a little bit.
Yeah.
And one thing that I love about the offense is that they ask everybody to grab and go.
Exactly. Like
every single dribble person. Dribble it doesn't matter dribble who you are. Everybody.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's so much fun. It makes the offense great. It's not, okay, grab the rebound and look for an outlet, or grab the rebound and look for Russell.
Yeah. Just go. Even if you are Kenrich Williams, just go. You lose the ball. Yep. Just go.
Yep. It's amazing. I think it's great.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and Lou Dort actually fits into that too, part of my point is that he can dribble. He's not, it's not like Thabo grabbing the ball and dribbling it out of bounds. Like, this is a guy that can drive the basketball.
Yeah. Lou looks also a little bit heavy. I think he's a bit heavy on his legs.
100%.
And this is not great, but it's really fixable. I mean, whenever you get into the 5 games in 7 days, like, it will fix almost by itself.
He'll have to play himself into shape for sure. Like, his butt looked huge in person. I'll tell you that. Like, he's big.
I take your word for it. Parmigiano or pecorino? Is this a real question? It depends. It depends on what you eat, Jonathan Green or Gren. It depends. You can get awesome Parmigiano, which is the like highest rated cheese, but you can find very good pecorino, especially if you get into Sardinia or whatever. Sorry, I digress.
By the way, for those listening, this is a comment on our YouTube.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sending just McKelly into a spiral. Thunder Pulse says, y'all are hating on Velveeta, liquid gold Thunderdome.
Great.
This is McKelly's scale. I can't put my name on this.
If I don't eat it, there is more for you.
That's true. I've got some in my fridge right now.
Awesome.
Awesome. Let's go to Alexei Fokushevsky. We just have to. He's been very fun. His last game.
Yeah.
He's a stat sheet stuffer, McKelly.
Yeah,
he's getting stats all over the place.
So
12 points, 13 boards, an assist, 2 steals. is good. 206 from 3, fine.
So Pokuševski, you cannot get above Mozzarella in his ratings because he was clearly bad in like a lot of possessions, especially when he tries to be the best player on the court. And to be fair, when he plays with Kenrich Williams, with Frank Jackson, Justin Jackson, Roby, he might be the best player on the court. And he kind of knows it.
Which is awesome, which I love. Yeah. Like, I absolutely love it.
Yeah. So whenever he plays with those guys, it's kind of fake Parmesan because he really like is fakely a good player. When he plays with the great players, he is blue cheese. He's he's that taste that makes the dish works in a perfect way. Like,
yeah,
I put blue cheese on the pumpkin cream that I made when I was at your place. And that is the detail that makes the dish go. And so
I agree.
He could be that, but if we need to find a median of his play, he's kind of Mozzarella.
Yeah. It's been really fun watching him play because you're trying to like kind of figure out like what is he? Is kind of like one of my questions I have with him. He's just a wing, right? He's
clearly a wing.
I mean, he's 7 feet, but he didn't play like he's 7 feet at all. I just don't see a path to him ever being like a real big guy. I mean, he's gonna have to get like a center. Like, are they ever gonna play small ball him at small ball center?
He's long. He's very long. If he puts, I don't know how many pounds of muscles, like he can be a shot blocker.
Yeah, I would say that you would rather have Baisley at that spot.
Yeah, they will post him up crazy. But is it that bad if your offense is to just posting up a seven footer?
It's a bad strategy. It's a dinosaur like strategy, right? Like it's old. It's kind of not a good strategy. But I don't know. He's going to have to get so much stronger for me to even say because you can back him all the way to the bucket.
Yeah. Right now, yes. But I don't know. I mean, core strength is something that I don't understand how it works. But it seems that for some guys, from 1 year to the other, they change dramatically there. So I don't know. I'm really not good at this stuff. Like I don't understand how things get better physically. I may ask my brother, who is like a professional athlete, to understand a bit more about it. But to be honest, like if he can put some strength, not weight, strength. And like yes, a little bit of weight in his shoulders.
Wait, wouldn't hurt him.
yeah, it wouldn't. He's not like super explosive, so you always need to be careful with tall players. To add muscles is not always the good thing. But today he's a wing. He's clearly a wing. Yeah. He shots like a wing. His release is so quick,
so fast.
Yeah. He's very fast.
Cheddar fast. Yeah. I will say this about watching him in person. Like his legs are not crazy skinny.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, a good thing for him, which bodes well for him to hold up a little better defensively.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not, he doesn't have, like, KD's legs, even today, are, like, so, so skinny, like, crazy skinny.
Because he's way more athletic. I mean, if you have, like, wide ankles, it's hard to be a great athlete with, like, huge ankles. And
Poku's not a great athlete.
No, and he's not going to be one. But you don't really need to be a crazy leaper.
No. When he's got that skill set, I mean, I think the play that probably stands out to everybody was when he got the board, drove down the court, and had that little hook shot down the middle. I mean, you get into the offense so fast. And it's funny, like, he was willing to go 1-on-5 against everybody.
Kind of crazy.
That sequence.
I expect him to shoot it from like 30 feet a la Bertans, but it didn't happen. Kind of miffed.
he is really a fun player to watch just because there's so many possibilities with him.
Yeah.
Whereas you watch some of these other
adventures.
Guys. Yeah. He's so fun. Yeah. And he hasn't been, he's had great moments and he's had like wildly bad moments. But I hope that they continue to just play him and let him mm-hmm. play through that.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's going to get better. You can already see, like, he's really smart. And the recognition even changed game to game a little bit. You're like, oh, okay. He's adding a little bit as he goes. And he's going to have 2 steps forward, 5 steps back, 10 steps forward, 20 steps back. Like, it's just going to be all over the place this year with him. Because he's a young player. And I mean, just being like, period, if you're just a young player coming to a new country to work, it's going to be a huge adjustment.
Yeah,
it is. And not only that, like, you're playing on TV and people know you and people talk about you. And you have, if you just Google your name, you're going to see a bunch of stuff about yourself. And like, it's just his whole life, his whole world has changed.
Yeah.
But I really like what I've seen from him. I like what I've seen from him as a teammate. Like, he's one of the first guys off the bench to like high five guys. He's raising the roof on the bench whenever Baisley's dunking. I mean,
wow. It's great. That dunk was crazy, by the way.
It's great. Is there any other player that deserves any of our time? Like, for us to, like, we've given the breakdown on a lot of these guys. Does anybody else deserve our time?
Well, I have another goat cheese.
Okay.
He's Tao.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. I forgot. How did I forget about Tao? Of course.
How dare you?
I would honestly, based on the expectations that I had, I think he's Cheddar.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I said goat because it was at the top of my rating before you said that.
Oh, Cheddar, that's right. That's right.
Top. So, yeah.
That's right. He's, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's I'm Cheddar. Sure right yes.
Sorry.
if we balance like the expectation to what we saw, boy, I mean, he's
a giant wheel of cheese. Court. Yeah.
Yeah.
he's been so good.
Yeah.
He's been amazing. Yeah. His shot looks good. He's poised. He's a great passer. We've said all this. Like, he's already a good backup point guard. I don't know what his potential is as a player. Because he's not a great athlete, he doesn't have like a super high ceiling, but as long as he wants to be in the NBA, like, he'll play in the NBA 10 plus years. I mean, like, he's got that in him already. And it doesn't take long to see it.
Yeah. And again, you don't have to be a super duper athlete in order to be player number 7 on a good team. I mean, Alex Caruso is not an awesome athlete. He's a good athlete, but doesn't have the vision that...
He'll dunk on guys.
Yeah, he can dunk.
Caruso will, yeah.
Yeah, he can dunk. I think the Malibu
He's better dunk. Than Caruso will be. Like, Caruso's fine.
Yeah, but again, Caruso is a player that probably will get another contract and maybe another one. It's easy for me to see that Caruso is going to have like 10 years. I don't know. There are players that sticks because they are smart. Monty Morris. I mean, he's not an awesome athlete, but he's a smart player. Doesn't turn the ball over. He will hit his spot up shots. He will play defense. Yep. He will be good. And when you have players that make your team better, they sticks. And so. Mm-hmm. I really like what I saw from Maradona. I especially like the fact that he was not afraid. I mean, he was clearly prepared and ready. And I mean, he was confident. He was okay playing that role, which is awesome. And I have no idea why he sat in the last game. Maybe some like resting or nagging injury or whatever.
I think it's resting. I think it's also just like, okay, let's make sure that
We
cut the right guys or we're doing...
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just opening up minutes. I mean, you look at it, control him 17 minutes. Justin Jackson played. I mean, Justin Jackson, 18 minutes. Frank Jackson, 16. Hami, 18. I mean, they're just trying to figure it out. They're trying to figure out if they have anything in these guys. Mm-hmm. And we didn't mention that the Thunder did cut Admiral Schofield and TJ Leaf. Which
surprise
it was the right call. It was definitely the right call. TJ Leaf just wouldn't have had a role on this team, and he hasn't shown anything up to this point in the NBA that says that you should give him a chance. So they've got one more to cut. I don't know who it's going to be. I would guess it's going to be Kenrich Williams, maybe it's Isaiah Roby, but I mean, they let Roby talk to the media after the first game against the Bulls.
Yeah.
So I just kind of wonder, are they
like, John was suggesting, well, not suggesting, and probably I'm getting this wrong, but if you look at the way they play, Justin Jackson is just horrible. Flat out. He had the last few years, he was not good at all. And
yeah,
it makes no sense for him to get shots like on this team.
He's
good for tanking, don't get me wrong, but
yeah,
he's useless.
I mean, the truth is that the back half of the roster is that way. Roby, Justin Jackson, Kendrick Williams. Like, who cares who it is?
Yeah, you know? But even Frank Jackson, that I said maybe he's going to be waived just because he wants to get somewhere and get minutes, and maybe some teams that just call his agent and say, well, get out from there.
He'll play here.
Yeah, but he's a guy that you don't mind. I mean, he will shoot threes. He will be okay. He will not do crazy things on the court. These are guys that are okay. They you will not win because you have Frank Jackson.
No, but you will lose
if you have Justin Jackson.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Justin Jackson's not even on my scale of people, but
yeah.
Frank Jackson's a dude. Like, he's just a dude. He is the definition, and I'll say this probably as long as he's on the Thunder, of somebody has to score the points. Like, he's just the definition of that.
But
if he's on the court, the ball's going to swing to him. He's going to shoot it. He'll make some of his shots. Great. He can do just a little bit of everything. He's not great at anything.
Mm-hmm.
But he's fine.
Yeah.
Like, he's just going to be, and he may end up being one of the guys at the end of this season that we're like, man, what a great season from Frank Jackson. He averaged 12 points and 2 boards and 3 assists. What a great player.
37.5% shooting from three. Wow.
Yeah. Contender signs him, sits on the end of the bench.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, he's just, likely. These guys are pros. Like, they're all pros.
Yeah.
And with given an opportunity, most of them are going to be able to do something if you're at any level of being good. And Frank Jackson, like, he just like crosses that threshold. I don't think he's a good player or a great player or a guy that would crack the rotation on a contending team. Heck, the Pelicans could have had him and should have had him. They didn't though. So I think he'll stick with the Thunder. But yeah, I would say that Kendrick Williams, I would put Justin Jackson on the chopping block too. I agree. And then Isaiah Roby. Like, those are the guys that you're choosing between right now. I would almost take Roby off of that. I think they like him. I think that they like his potential versatility.
Yeah.
At the big spot.
The way in which he travels half his possessions. In the same way. Always by putting him on the court. Always the feet first, hands later. Travel every single time.
Okay, how many of these guys are you giving a Velveeta score to? Just give me your Velveeta guys.
So, Velveeta to me, Isaiah for sure, Kenrich, and Justin Jackson. I gave fake Parmesan to both Hami and probably just Hami, only because in the end, he was productive enough. And then I gave Frank Jackson some stinky mozzarella, like not really good one. But it was okay. Yeah. I mean, he scored.
Some string cheese? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know string cheese?
No.
Do you know string cheese?
No. What's that?
Individually packaged mozzarella cheese that you peel off like string, like strings off. See, I am like the poor cheese man over here, eating all the poor people's cheese. Okay. He's fine. Okay. He's fine. Okay, what about Muscala? What'd you give Muscala?
Oh, Muscala, I gave him a great grade. Blue cheese Muscala.
Yeah.
Of course.
He was awesome.
Like, yeah.
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 He's great. I loved it. I love the production from him. He scored. He plays as hard as he can.
Yeah.
I like him. He's another guy that you could potentially flip for like a good second rounder to somebody. Yeah. I think the Lakers gave 2 seconds for him.
Like,
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe the Thunder can do that again, is flip him for 2 seconds.
To them?
To anybody. I don't care. Whoever. Yeah,
no, me neither. I mean, you can...
Maybe the Clippers. Maybe you flip him to the Clippers for 2 seconds. You take those Detroit seconds.
Or for Kamengele. Like, just get Kamengele here and see if he's any good.
I talked about that with Taylor on Friday. I was getting Kamengele here.
Yeah.
Okay, that's our grades. Did we miss anybody?
I don't think so.
Ty Jerome didn't play. Trevor Ariza is not here. Josh Hall didn't play. Moses Brown. You give any credit to Moses Brown?
No, two ways are not deserving of any cheese.
Ah, don't even deserve to speak your name, Moses Brown. Sorry, I've even said it as many times as I have.
He was quite bad.
Yeah, he's not good. He's huge, though.
Very tall. Very, very tall. Very narrow shoulders for a guy who is that tall.
Yeah, yeah. I give his height a blue cheese. Really good height.
And really good height.
Nice height.
Nice height.
Very good. Very good being tall, Moses Brown.
And like cement, concrete feet. That is what Moses Brown is. But anyway, I mean.
Yeah.
He can play in Europe probably or in the G League for 10 years.
Yeah. Oh, Ben Alperson said, does Mark Degnan get a cheese grade?
It's cheddar for me. I really like what I saw. I really like what I saw in terms of quality. Again, their rotations are awful. It doesn't make any sense, but it should not make any sense in preseason.
Yeah.
And it kind of did for the first half of the last game. Like the rotation in the second half were just like whatever. In the first half, also the rotation were kind of crisp. Like, so I like this new dribble drive offense. But again, it's hard to evaluate a coach in three games. Also a player, but it's more fun to do so.
Three games, right? Yeah. No, I've been impressed so far. Yeah. Cheddar all the way. Yeah. I think he's been great. Everybody's wanted to play for him. Everybody's attitude has been good. Like everybody's feeling good, which is good.
Yep.
Because after what's happened over the past offseason, it could be a very awkward, weird situation. So he's done well just managing the team.
Mm-hmm.
And then the offense looks good and the defense looks good.
Yeah.
So I give him credit because really the best case scenario is that they compete every night, they play really hard, and then they just lose the game.
Yeah.
You know, at the end.
Is it an under for you on 22 games? Which seems to be the last number.
26 was the over-under that I had. It's like 26, the equivalent of 26.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had under.
On 22? I'm torn.
If this is the team, if they carry this team through the season, it's over. It's easy over.
Yeah.
I just have faith that they'll get rid of some of these guys.
I don't think they will win more than 30. Even if they keep this team. But 22 is not... They have like a tough schedule, but...
Mm-hmm.
But still, 22 is not a lot.
It's low. No. It's low. They also played the Bulls, who are a lot worse than I thought they would be.
Yeah.
They looked pretty bad.
Yeah. 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 They can get George Hill for Felicio. It still makes a lot of sense for them to do that. Or they can get Trevor Ariza and George Hill for the useless corpse of... what's his name? Why am I blank? Well... No, what's the name? Otto Porter. Sorry.
Otto? Yes. Yeah. Otto Porter, not a great look.
Not
from
good.
Otto Porter.
No. He can still score, but nothing there.
Yeah. He stinks now.
Yeah.
He's bad.
Yeah.
He's in your mind, he's Velveeta.
The one that you leave in the fridge for 2 months. You see, I still have it. Let's see if it's any good. No. Okay. Nope. Nope. Not even on pizza or on like warm foods. Nothing.
You don't put on pizza.
You don't?
The best way to use Velveeta is to make you make queso with it.
Oh, I see. I see.
Yeah. That's the proper way to use Velveeta.
Okay.
If you're gonna use it, you make queso.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't put it on pizza.
I don't know.
Now that is gross.
I have no idea.
That's gross.
I have no idea. I never used it.
I know you don't. I'll teach you the ways of Velveeta when you come back to the United States.
Okay. I understand, like, putting it as queso. I kind of understand.
Yeah. You can you don't have to be nice about it if you don't want to be.
No, I understand. I mean, it's food for, like, football or whatever, which is anything.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it. Tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. We are going to... I'm going to do this all week with everybody that's on the show this week. Everybody's going to be giving me bold predictions. So three bold predictions for the Thunder and one bold prediction for the NBA at large. And I'm going to give you a spice ranking for each bold prediction. And so at the end of the week, we'll see who has the spiciest takes. And then when the season ends, we'll review these takes and also this, how spicy it really was in retrospect. And then somebody will get the bold and spicy award at the end of the year.
Mine will be not spicy at all. Too bad.
Okay.
Thunder number one, I would say mild, but you can decide. Shea will finish top three in most improved player.
That's like Velveeta with just by itself. There's no spice to that at all.
Shea will finish top two in most improved player.
Just say I mean, if you really want to spice it up.
Yeah, he will win it. Let's say that he will win it.
He will win.
Yeah.
MIP.
Yeah. The second one is even worse. Maledon will be in second team all rookie. Shall we make first? I don't believe that, but if you want me to get spicy.
Okay, keep going. Keep going.
The third is very, very sad.
Oh, no.
Thunder will win more than 25 games.
Okay, give me a number. Give me a number.
Thunder will win 29 games.
Mikel, you're a little bit like I was last year, where it's like these are just straight up predictions.
Okay,
These are not these are not bold and spicy.
Okay. All right.
Shea winning MVP. And this can be about anything. Like, I'll just clarify real quick.
Okay.
These can be about anything at all. They can be about a trade, or it happens in the locker room, or something that happens on the podcast, or it could be about anything. Okay. And I'm messaging this to Alex and to the other people.
Okay.
Because this can be anything at all, anything you want. This is your time, and you feel free to change anything you'd like.
Okay. So let's skip Shea will win most improved player.
Okay.
Prediction number two, I will change with another rookie, which is Pokuševski, there will be a game where he takes more than 10 threes. Is it better?
Okay. Yeah, I kind of like that. There's a little kick to that. More than 10 threes in a game.
More okay. than 10 threes in a game. Not okay. not make, attempt. That would be crazy. The last one should be something about some returning players doing something crazy. I don't know. Well, let me tell you the league-wide prediction, which is also yep. quite sad. The Nets will be the best team in the East, and they will get to the finals.
Okay.
And
that's not crazy spicy, but it's got some spice to it.
Yeah, I know. I'm bad at this. Let me think about something crazy that might.
Your third happen. One right now is the Thunder will win 29 games, which is like as lukewarm as.
No, but
anything could be.
Yeah. I want to get better at that. So let me think about something crazy that can happen to other players. There will be one game where a bench player for the Thunder will score more than 30 points.
You have to tell me who.
No. Nope.
You got to give me who.
Why?
You have to.
Why?
This is the rule. I'm making up the rules as we go. That's the rule. You got to give me somebody. There's no spice in.
Either Maledon or Pokuševski will score 30 by the end of the season. At least
pick
once.
Pick one.
No. Why?
Pick one.
I don't have to do that.
Rule. I don't make up the rules. You have to pick one.
I don't want to do two about Pokuševski because I really think it will be him. I'm not confident on Maledon doing that. I'm scrambling here. I don't know what to do. I had my bold takes and Taylor liked them. So now you're putting me in such a crisis over here.
I'm so sorry.
I have one. Darius Bazley will dunk hard on Russell Westbrook.
Okay. I like this. Bazley will dunk on Russell Westbrook. Dunk hard.
Yes.
Okay. I like that. All right. That's decent. There's some decent spice in there now. I like that.
Yeah. But now no takes will be real. Like it's probably part of the game and I should have known better, but
no. Yeah. These aren't just predictions. These are like bold predictions where like the odds of them happening are pretty low.
Yeah.
But if you connect, it's like, wow, yeah. Bold, spicy, delicious. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what it is.
Okay. Fine.
Okay. Thanks for listening to our show. Thanks for Michele, thanks for giving us some spicy takes there at the end. We appreciate also your cheese takes. I think we all learned a little bit more about cheese during this show as well. Thanks so much for listening to our show, Paul Michele. Yeah. Oh yeah, Velveeta's gonna block you on Twitter, by the way. That's coming. Shout out to Velveeta. Okay. Shout out to Liquid Gold. Thanks for listening. You can follow Michele on Twitter at Mikey Berra. Velveeta, you can block Michele at Mikey Berra. You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew K. Schlecht. Follow our podcast at Down to Dunk. Make sure you leave us a 5-star Apple Podcast review. If you're looking for something to give Down to Dunk for Christmas, it's a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It's really simple. If you have an iPhone, it's incredibly simple. Purple Podcast app, search Down to Dunk, hit 5 stars. Leave us a little Merry Christmas. We'd appreciate that. Hope you guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you guys again on Wednesday.